Morning, church.
Good morning.
Grace and peace from God our Creator and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we begin to worship, there are a couple of things that I would like to share this morning. It's a busy week here in Essex Center, and this the second full week of September. Does it seem like it shouldn't be this already? September 12th, it just, what happened to it? Time goes on. So this week, in addition to the regular things that have been taking place, we have an administrative council, a church council meeting on Tuesday night. And I see I have failed to include the Zoom link. But if you will call the church office tomorrow, we'll make sure that if you would like to be a part of that Zoom, that we will get that out to you. What we're trying to do is to engage the congregation, whether you are able to be in person or whether you are able, you feel more comfortable to join with us remotely. So not only welcome here, but welcome in your living room, in your kitchen, in your bedroom, wherever you happen to be. Because God is in our midst everywhere. And we want to be able to do that with our functioning as a body. We want to engage people and hear what's going on and how we can be most effective in being a church family together. So, Administrative Council, 6:30 on Tuesday. And this is, I believe, our third Wednesday. Yes, Paula?
Yes.
So we will have Tazay this week, and that link is there. The WOW folks are meeting on, I guess that's Friday, yes? And this is the week when food distribution happens for Underhill Jericho Food Shelf, which will be happening out at the Good Shepherd, right, Kathy?
And it's
Essex Jericho Underwood. Thank you.
It's this Saturday, yes.
And it is this Saturday, and it's 9:30, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And usually wraps up 11:30,
yeah,
12 o'clock.
It's shorter now. Yeah.
Indeed. And if you would like to participate in helping to stock that's in our mission outreach section, and you can do that. You can bring things here and put them in the food bin downstairs or right where you shop. Price Chopper has a box. I believe, does Hannaford has one too, yes. So you just look for that after you check out, put it in the box, it goes there and we're good to go. Just so that you know, I was out in July, and will be present this coming Saturday as well. And great group of people. If you've never had the opportunity and you've wanted to, I encourage you to come out and be a part. It's really a well-run experience, and it's tremendous fellowship with people from our community and with all kinds of faith backgrounds. Were there any other announcements that I have failed to lift up that we need to be aware of this morning? Well, that's amazing that I didn't miss one. So I invite you to stand and to greet one another in a way that's appropriate for you and for one another, and let us share signs of God's love and peace. Peace be with you.
Welcome back before noon.
agenda.
That's not, I'm not gonna sound, so I can get.
Okay. You're gonna get mixed up, but.
Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So let us settle, focus our entire being on the worship of the Lord, and together let's come before God in silent prayer. Would you please stand as you're able and join me in our call to worship? The heavens tell us of the glory of God and the cosmos God's handiwork. day and night proclaim of wonders and knowledge, not in words or speech. Yet their voice is heard across the earth, even to the end of the world.
The law of the Lord is perfect, sure and right. It guides the soul, makes the simple wise, and causes the heart to rejoice.
Finer than gold, sweeter than fresh honey from the comb, God's law is eternal and pure, and it enlightens all who hold the Lord in awe and respect.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are my rock and my redeemer.
And I invite you to join together and share in one of the great songs of our faith, number 77 in the hymnal, How Great Thou Art. children of God said,
Amen.
Please be seated. Would you join me in our morning prayer? You are indeed a God of wonders, O Lord. We gather to begin our week with thanks and praise. We seek your Spirit's anointing today, that we might understand our place in the vastness of your creation, and also claim the unique and marvelous calling we have for each of our lives. May we hear your words in the depth of our being, so we might follow faithfully as a family the path of life you have laid before us in Jesus our Savior. It is in his name that we pray. So each week, we make sure to set aside specific time for our youngest disciples, both here and at home. So, young people, if you would like to come on down. Good to see you guys. Thank you. I appreciate that. As Roger reminded me, one of the things that clergy always do when we pastors or rabbis or other faith leaders, whenever we come back from a vacation, the first thing you do is drive by and check the church sign. Yeah, you know. So my name was still there, so I knew I was good to come home. So you guys are back at school? Yeah, that is so cool. And this year, Allison, what grade are you in this year? Second. So you and Hannah are both in second grade. That was going to be my next question. That is pretty amazing. Is there anything different this year about second grade than from first grade? Oh, well, that's cool. So outside, when you guys are outside, you can take your masks off. Oh, that's a big help. What do you like to do at recess? No? How about you, Hannah? Yeah? Okay, that's cool. Foursquare? Wow. I am really glad to hear that that's still played today. That's cool. And what's different and new about fourth grade, Emma?
Just because last year we could only take our masks off at PE, mm-hmm. Now we can take them off when we come outside only for a little bit just for us to talk about expectations and stuff, or during the whole school meeting.
Okay. So whenever you're in open space, whenever you're outside, that's cool. Hopefully, you know, that's something that is going to be a part of our lives forever, is changes, things that change. And it's like when you start a new school year, you kind of expect things are going to be a little different, right? And I don't know about you, but I don't always like change. But one of the things that I found is that changes can be really, really cool. And sometimes when I expect good things to happen with the changes, they do. So this morning, one of the things that I wanted to share with you is that that's something that happens in the Bible all the time. The Bible is filled with all kinds of stories about people who are going through changes in their lives. Some of those changes are really cool. Some of those changes are tough.
Some of the changes, we laugh with the people, and sometimes we cry with them. But God has created this world that things evolve and change, just like you guys growing up. Okay? And one of the things that I wanted to ask you is, in these stories about things that change, I wanted to ask you what you might know about the Bible. Okay? So, Emma, there's two really big sections that the Bible's divided into. Do you know what we call those? I figured you had it down, dude. Yes. Typically, we call them the Old Testament and then the New Testament because one was written older than the other one, right? But we could also call them Hebrew Scripture and Christian Scripture, okay? Because the dividing point is the life of Jesus, okay? And the first four books of what we think of as the New Testament tell us stories about Jesus. So, Hannah, do you know what maybe one of those books is that talks about Jesus? Okay, well, we're going to learn that today. I bet you do. One of them is Matthew. Allison, do you know what another one is?
Mark?
Give me a third one. Luke and John. I was going to come back. Yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each one of them tells stories a little bit differently about Jesus. But it's the same Jesus. Okay? And what happens is each one of them gives us just a little different way of understanding him, which is really cool. Just like, even though you guys are twins, right? You're not exactly alike, right? You're sisters. You all three are in the same family, but each one of you sees things differently and thinks about things just a little bit differently. And that's kind of like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and I'm not trying to put pressure on you guys for a fourth. Okay? But if it's the four of us, okay, each one of us would give a little bit different perspective on Jesus, okay? And that's what we try to do when we get together, is tell stories about our lives and about God and about Jesus. And each one of those stories helps us grow in our faith. And that's why it's so important for us to share together. And that's why I really appreciate you guys being here and talking with me, okay? Now, next time I see you, I want to ask you to tell me one special thing about Jesus that you think is special. Could be anything, okay? And I'll try to remember to ask you. But if I forget, I bet I know somebody who will remind me. So, how about we have a word of prayer together? Okay? We bow our heads? Dear God, thank you for the stories of life, which help us understand not only who we are, but how we can go about living. Help me to remember that sometimes life, the things that happen in my life, they make me laugh, and sometimes cry. But always you are there, and your love leads me forward. May I feel your love this day. Share your love. forgot the song. But that's okay. You guys can stay there. So there's a song that I grew up with that probably some of you know as well. And it is a request of God. And it's a request of one another. It's called Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Okay. So in response to all of that, let's sing together. Just that one verse in your bulletin. Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Turn your attention to the 8th chapter of Mark's Gospel. So, Matthew, Mark, that would be the second one, right? The second one, yeah. Mark chapter 8. Beginning at verse number 27. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" The disciples responded, "John the Baptist. Others, Elijah. And still others, one of the prophets." Jesus pressed them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone else about him. And then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, would be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. But after 3 days, rise again. He said all this to them quite openly. And Peter took him aside. And he rebuked Jesus. But turning to the disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on the things that are human." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to Christ. And as you're able, would you stand and turn in your hymnal to number 170. Let us sing together.
Thank you.
And our gospel reading continues. Picking up right where we left off. With Jesus' rebuke of Peter, and even calling the one who we so often think as the leader of the apostles, referring to him as Satan. It was at that point that Jesus called the crowd along with the disciples. It's then that he said to them, if any of you want to be my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? And those who are ashamed of me and of my world, of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man shall also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock. You are our redeemer. Amen. So, I remember in my youth that we used to gather around a television set. Because there was only one when we finally did get one. There was that black and white television, and you pulled the button out and it went boosh, right? As what was cutting edge technology at the time bathed us all in radiation. But in my family, when we got a television, we watched it together. Some of it was just the fascination of it. But some of it was a time when we actually interacted. And one of the big things in my family were the variety shows, right? And then some of those really, for me, what I think of as really cool comedy sketch shows, pre-SNL, right? And every time I read this story, Jesus' interaction with the disciples and his direct question to them about his identity and Peter's response and that whole conversation that ensues afterwards. When I read this story and also that story at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry where he is tempted, right, in the wilderness, he goes off right after his baptism, right after he is anointed with the Spirit, and it remains on him, and the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness, and Jesus is tempted in that 40-day period. Every time I read either one of these stories, my mind immediately goes back to Geraldine. It's just a force of habit.
And I hear Flip Wilson saying, "The devil made me buy this dress." It was an identification that happened. It was so surprising to me that on this television, there was this conversation about church. Because at that time in my life, I thought church was something that happened here, and then we went elsewhere, and the rest of life went on. Because that's the way it works, right? No. The church is not like Las Vegas, right? Because what happens here is not supposed to stay here. This is the place where we come, when we gather, we seek the presence of God in a unique and different way. Yes, God is everywhere. God is, you know, in the middle of Lake Champlain. God is in the midst of the fields. God is in the forests and the trees and on the peak of Mount Mansfield and, you know, on the golf course. God is omnipresent. And we can encounter God everywhere and anywhere. But there's something unique that happens when people of faith come together and seek God's presence corporately. There's something about the energy of creation. And this is just good, solid physics, right? There's something about our creation that when we gather and we focus our hearts, our minds, our souls, when we seek the divine, when we seek the presence of the one who made us, there's a unique moment. And it's critical and imperative for our health, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. But we're not meant to stay here. This is the charging station, the hospital. There'll be different images that relate to us at different times in our lives, but this is a place where we come for a time in order to go out and to live more healthy, to live more fully, to live as God intended us to. This is just a means towards the journey. Geraldine helped me understand that, believe it or not. There was something so jarring about this African-American comedian speaking about church life on the television, in a place where I didn't expect to hear it. In a way that made me laugh at myself and the stuff that we sometimes do in church. Because sometimes it gets really silly. And we'll explore that on another Sunday, but what is it that you hear when Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan"? What does that mean to you? How do you understand that? How do you relate to that? It's really a challenge for me because there's two different experiences that I have had
as it relates to the devil. I mean, I've had lots of experiences with the devil, but we won't go into all of those this morning. But just intellectually and theologically, you know, I grew up in a very traditional background in the South, and the personification of evil, and that the devil was this being that was almost the antithesis of God. If God was all good, then Satan was all bad. Light and darkness. There was a divergence, and even to the point where there was this expectation that the devil could win. Right? That's what I interpreted. Whether or not that's what was actually taught, that's a whole other thing. But that's what I interpreted. That's what it came to. There's this antithesis in the cosmos. And it wasn't until much later when I really began to be challenged intellectually about what the Bible actually says. So I'm going to ask you. And so, yes, Liz, this is the, you know, there is going to be a test. Where's the first expression that we read about Satan in the scriptures? Anybody?
Genesis?
Anybody else? John? There's no penalty, by the way. Okay? My first understanding is that in Hebrew, the first expression of what we have come to think of as Satan occurs in the book of Job. Now, Paula, like you, I grew up, in the garden, right? Okay? But that's not what the scripture actually says. What the scripture actually says is there was a serpent, a creature, a creation of God, a talking snake. Doesn't say anything about Satan or the devil. It's the book of Job. And in the book of Job, the way that classic Judaism understands this person, this being, this creature, it's a heavenly courtroom. And my apologies to attorneys. This is not a disparaging thing. But in this particular heavenly court, there is a prosecuting attorney. The prosecuting attorney is the Hasatan. And that's how it's Hasatan, the Satan, the accuser. That's literally how it first appears and how classic Judaism understands this person. Not as the embodiment of evil, but rather someone who is part of God's heavenly court and who is there to challenge. And when you read the book of Job as it begins, the whole setting of that book is about this righteous person. And the prosecuting attorney says, and if I strip all the goodness out of this person's life, I would bet you that they will curse you and turn from you. That's really the premise of that book. And how and what we experience and feel when persons experience sorrow and pain, and it's uncalled for. You know, then we really encounter this experience of Jesus being tempted. And then we have this expression. The 8th chapter of Mark, where Jesus refers to one of the most preeminent of his followers with that title. Not name, per se. But if we hearken back to its first use, a title. It changes my perspective on life as a whole and the struggle that I'm in. It also changes how I look and understand what will eventually take place. It's not in question. Our faith tells us there's not a question, will this end in darkness or light? It ends in light. There is no question that whether what happens to the course of our experience together, we experience redemption. It's not a question of who's going to win, because our faith tells us, and in this story it's recounted, Jesus is trying to prep these followers. He says, right, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. And I will rise again. That's the end of the story. Life. There is a cycle to it. There is a struggle with it. But it always ends in that was your line. It always ends in. It always ends in. It always ends in. But I also needed to hear this conversation that Jesus has after the fact. That second reading, right? So Jesus, the disciples are not getting it. So he turns to the crowd and he says, anybody who wants to follow me. He says, anybody who doesn't follow me is going to hell. No, he doesn't say that, does he? Now, some of us have learned that. Some of us have been taught that. Some of us have that inclination. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's calling us, those of us who are of faith, to be real about what we believe, to practice it, to put it forward, to make sure that we are intentional about how we live our lives. So he has this conversation. He talks about saving your life and losing it. And that's what drew me to that. I don't know. I'm bad with sermon titles. I apologize straight off the fact. But you know, this idea of what is a profitable life? What is the purpose of our living? What is a profitable church? What is the purpose of our being as a family? And Jesus uses these terms of profit and loss, right? And we are a 501c3, right? We are a non-profit organization. That provides us with some tax opportunities. But it also defines us legally as an entity that is concerned with promoting a purpose beyond putting cash in our pockets. It means that we have an obligation legally in the context of our society to do something for the larger community. Think about that. We are under obligation because we applied to be a 501c. We have the obligation in our country to provide a service to the community. Now, we didn't need that because that should be at the heart of our experience to begin with. But one of the things that I've found in my own life, in my own personal life, and in the life of the church, is that we often forget that. We forget that the reason, that the purpose of our gathering is not just to resource us, but to resource them. That we exist not just for the benefit of our own soul. What would it, what does it profit to gain your whole life and to lose it? Our experience, our reason for being as a Christian family and community of faith is to resource others. And it's interesting to me that we have further defined that to be legally obligated to do that. But how often do we get caught up in our own lives? And I say this because it happens to me on a regular basis. They get caught up in the whirlwind of my life, and I don't look beyond my own needs. I get caught up in what's best for me. How can I move forward in my own personal life? And I lose sight of the fact that I'm part of a larger body and community. How often does the church make decisions about what is best for us? How can I ensure that my place remains within this body? When the call of Jesus, at least in this story, is for us to not be so concerned about what I get, but what you're getting. And to press that even further, what our neighbors are receiving because we exist. What does it profit us if we gain the whole lose the essence of who we are? That's how I understand his expression when he says, being ashamed of him. Because if I go out and live my life and ignore the need and the life around me, then I am literally acting as if I am ashamed of that call. It doesn't say the non-believer is going to hell. Not in this passage. What it does say is that those who say that they follow and don't God is ashamed of us because we've already been ashamed of God. So my challenge to myself this week, the invitation, is to find a means and a way this week, a tangible means, wherein I liberally, generously, intentionally care for someone else, even as I lay aside what it is that I want. So I invite you to do that with me. You know, what's a simple way of doing that? Show up Saturday at 9:30 at the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. Spend 2 hours helping someone else find food security. What's some way that you can do that? What's another way that you can do that? Reach out to one of the persons on our prayer list. Take time out of your life and give them a phone call. Or knock on their door and have a socially distanced, appropriate visit. Or maybe, I know we got bakers and wonderful cooks in this congregation. You know, drop off a loaf of bread on somebody's doorstep. Just ring the bell. You know, not like we did, well, that some of us did when we were kids. But leave them a nice gift. Maybe it's providing a tithe or offering, or going an extra mile to provide a mission offering that we'll send for flood and storm relief through UMCOR. There's a whole host of things that each of us can do that takes our need and intentionally puts it aside so that someone else might be blessed. What is your purpose for living? And what is ours? Let us pray. Lord, we come here and we gather as your church, but we know that each of us, even though our spirits are willing, many times our flesh is weak. And we stumble through being faithful just like those first disciples and Peter did. Lord, might your Spirit anoint us anew so that we can see clearly how we can be a vessel of love or justice or equity or peace right where we live, in our home, in our neighborhood, in this town, in these communities, in this state. May our actions this week proclaim our love, our faith, our admiration for who you are and who we understand ourselves to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a hymn of response. Number 185, When Morning Gilds the Skies.
Thank you.
everyone said,
Amen.
Please be seated. We also make sure to designate and set aside specific time for the sharing of concerns and joys, hopes and struggles. And there are a couple of folks that I have learned about on going through some difficult times and also some joys. So the Knox Brown family has been very ill for the last 2 weeks. They are on the mend, but so continued prayers. Josh, Melanie, and the boys. The Olson family was suffering from COVID. And so, And so our prayers continue for your recovery. Our sister Sarah is also in need of support and prayers. Our beloved sister Midge is working in those last chapter of her wondrous life. And she's got family around her, and hospice is caring for her at home. But please keep our sister Midge, you know, in your heart, in your prayers, and reach out as you can. And we also have, I understand that there's a new baby in the midst of the congregation, right? So congratulations to Jessica and family. But I don't know baby.
Jackson.
There we go. So now, yep. Now should I assume that's a boy?
It is.
Yes.
Okay. And everybody's doing well, yes. So congratulations, Julia, on a baby brother. Other things that we need to share, other things that we need to lift up. Yes, ma'am.
Our son Kirk had his surgery. He's recovering well, and the report was very good. It was cancer, and they removed it all. And so he's going to have to go back for a scan later on, but it was a success.
Praise God that Kurt surgery was successful, and they believe they've removed it all, and hallelujah. Hallelujah. We continue to pray for his recovery. Other things. Oh, yes.
A prayer for my friends Pam and Dave. Dave was recently diagnosed with advanced pancreatic cancer.
Prayers for Pam and Dave. Dave having a recent cancer diagnosis. Absolutely. I also received a note to be in prayer for a college friend of Catherine's, Brent White, who is also going through cancer treatment. Yes, ma'am.
Prayers for my niece Anne, as her family is in a lot of turmoil.
Prayers for Anne and the turmoil in her family. Amen. Yes, sir.
The Jewish friends during high and holy days.
Indeed. In the times of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, prayers for our faith family. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, pray for my twin sisters, Jean and Joan, both have health problems.
For Jean and Joan and their health struggles. Other things. If you have a request that you just didn't feel comfortable lifting aloud, feel free to write it down and put it in any of the offering plates as you leave. Make sure to include them in our prayers this week and for next week as well. Let's come before the Lord and share not only these things that we've lifted up, but also the things of our hearts.
Holy One, for all the love, for all the blessing, for all the wonder, for all the life. Thank you. Each of us comes before you with a unique and wondrous thanks. We also pray, Lord, for the needs of our brothers and sisters and family members, our siblings who are most at risk or most in need. Some we know, some are familiar to us. But all need your presence, deliverance, healing, wholeness. Lord, hear our prayers for the Olsons and Sarah, for the Brown Knoxes, for Jackson and his family, for Anne and Brent, for Pam and Dave, for Jean and Joan. Be with our sister Midge and her children. And may each one know your embrace that is filled with assurance and hope. May we know in our minds and may we trust with our hearts that indeed it always ends in life. Gracious God, for those who teach our children, for our children in school, for the leaders of our town, our state, our nation and world, ask that you would hold all and each one in the very palm of your hand. And we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Mother and Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thanks to all who have given themselves in these past weeks and will be giving of yourselves in the week to come. If you have a tithe or an offering that you have brought this morning, please know that you can put them in any of the offering plates. That's what they are. Offering plates. As you leave, you are also free to send something in by mail, electronic transfer,
And please know that we work diligently to make sure that we are wise and judicious in how those funds are used to care to promote our purpose, which is indeed for the benefit of this town, this state, this world, all humankind. Would you stand for the benediction? I pray that you have been blessed and filled, that you have experienced the anointing of God's presence in your life as you understand it. And now, my friends, family, go to work and be the church. Fulfill the love that God has placed in your life.